On today's show, we're covering the State of Union, the fallout, the walkouts, and the traps they all fell in.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's just Will and I today. Because we figured it'd be me, you, and clips of President Trump giving the State of the Union, clips of the alternate State of the Unions, some of which, you know, when they claim that things are so bad and we need to be taking things so seriously. And then you respond. Usually I tease these.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to say
for it.
You don't even have to show it now. We'll show it later.
Okay.
But then your response is to be on stage with a group of frogs?
I would say gaggle of frogs, but that's not the right term.
A gaggle of inflatable frog costumed people while you're telling everyone the world is falling apart because of the current administration. It makes you question whether we should be taking any of this too seriously. Now, of course, this comes on the heels of a State of the Union address, lasted about 2 hours, right?
An hour and 48 minutes, which is the record for the longest State of the Union.
And President Trump warned that to the Olympic team as they were visiting the hockey team, was to me the highlight of the entire night, was bringing out, which happened pretty early, bringing out the Olympic gold medalists who won the hockey team, gave one of them the Medal of Freedom, or said he would be at some point. However, he warned them, this is going to be a very long speech, so, you know, get comfortable. And it was. And we're going to go through some of the highlights. Look, I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with this speech. I can't point to a moment that I thought, there were going to be some tech issues early on. The mic was a little hot, so it was distorting. It was a little hard to listen to. President Trump had a few of his kind of Trump-isms, maybe even only in like the first 10 to 15 minutes. And then it became a fairly standard State of the Union address with some surprises and highlights sprinkled in. But I would say a little less show. In terms of like the special guests and those things, though they did happen, and then his previous ones, and maybe that's reading the room and understanding the seriousness of the moment right now. But you know, definitely harped on the economy, and of course the ending of many different wars or the de-escalation of many different wars.
That's right. And when I watched it, honestly, I thought the tone of the president was different than in any other speech I'd really seen. It wasn't the amped up rally style speech, and it wasn't the just reading off the teleprompter and then meandering off the teleprompter as you see often in speeches. He stuck to the script, I felt like, pretty closely
a couple times,
as well as the programming, as we talked about yesterday, how he was using human faces and real people in the room to drive those points home. And honestly, I feel like the Democrats didn't really know how to respond to some of the moments. And so they, when we're faced with specific choices in that, and we'll get into that.
Absolutely.
They walked into rhetorical traps that happened throughout the night. And I can't wait to play this one bite when we get back, because it just was a moment that you're going to see in every single midterm ad. Yeah. I just know it.
I mean, it was obviously one of the moments too where you look out at the crowd and did notice that there were dozens of empty chairs. You don't usually see that at the State of the Union. Somewhat that played into President Trump's hand, because some of the more moderate Democrats that did show up, or the loudmouth ones, if you will, on the other side, there were occasional moments that you did have a 95 plus percentile of the people standing up and applauding. I don't think that would have even happened if you had had a full house.
I would point out that Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida, who Jordan had that panel with, she sat on the Democrat side specifically so that she could stand up and it looked like someone on their side
filled out
standing
the room.
Up.
Okay.
I would have done it because
there was assigned seating.
There was a lot more room to sit. Like, you could just have a lot of space. You're not crammed in.
I need a safety
seat. So many people were not there.
Will and I go to the movies together.
Yeah.
We're not. Look how far we have between us right now.
On purpose.
When they said, how you want to do this set, I said, I need 6 feet between me and the next person.
We need to be able to yell at each other to hear each other.
Full wingspan.
Right. Here's my arm.
Full wingspan. Double. There you go. All right. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Seculo program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls today at 1-800-684-3110. Also, I didn't even say that, I think, in the first segment. Phone lines are open. I want to hear from you. What do you think about the State of the Union? Did you watch? Did you not watch? I know a lot of friends who decided, even those who are more conservative, decided, you know what? I kind of got a good idea from it. I'll check out the highlights later on social media. I don't want to spend, you know, 2 hours on my Tuesday night away from my family or not them not watching it with me. And look, President Trump has, in the past, I'm not sure about his specific State of the Unions, but he's necessarily always the most family-friendly guy in terms of language and things. So there may be some parents that were like, I kind of want to screen this before, or I want to watch this after my kids go to bed. What did you do? I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. It did feel like, you know, there's obviously, we're talking wartime things, so there was a lot of heaviness in the room at certain instances. Of course, you had moments like Erica Kirk being featured in the galley talking, you know, him speaking directly to her and about the assassination of her husband. And I think that could not have come at a better time when really the healing of that whole situation still is lingering over the country and has become more and more fractured and chaotic. But I think that was appropriate to have her there. And again, I think that one actually got a pretty good standing ovation from the majority when he had a call to end political violence. That is something that we all stand against political violence, that we should be able to have these conversations, you know, across the room from each other, actually be able to debate and have discussions, shake hands, be friends at the end. That has not been the nature of the beast, it feels like, for the last few years, or at least social media and honestly the members sitting there would lead you to believe that. But I was happy to see those applause breaks happen occasionally that would unite the room. I do, though, want to show where President Trump, knowing that this is how it goes now, that half the room stands, half the room sits, kind of backed some of these people into a corner. And look, they couldn't really take the bait one way or the other, but it made for an interesting television moment.
That's right. Let's go ahead and roll this for people, because President Trump did a call to action, so to speak, and said basically, stand up and show your support if you agree with this basic principle. Let's play it. And if you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, Salem News Channel, you'll see the visual and we'll talk about it afterwards. But this is bite one from President Trump at the State of the Union last night.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
So you see that visual where half the room stands and applauds and half the room sits down. Those that are remaining seated, I would hope they agree with the statement because they are elected by American citizens as their representative. And it was a cleverly worded statement because it says the first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. That shouldn't be controversial as a statement. Now, he knew it was a trap. Yeah, he knew that they wouldn't.
Yeah,
and they took the bait.
Yeah.
However, then I turned on CNN after the State of the Union was over to hear what some of their commentary was. And the way that they framed that question, even with their panel, when they were discussing it, and to they had kind of a focus group that they spoke with, they said, and then he had that moment where he said, stand up if you don't support illegal immigrants. That wasn't what the question was. And so CNN even tried to spin it as this thing that he said, okay, Republicans, you stand up because you don't support illegal immigrants, and Democrats, you can stay seated. No, he said, the duty of the government. You can stand up even if you have the most far out there left-wing ideology that illegal immigrants should be given very close to citizenship as soon as they get here.
Yeah, full rights.
You could probably still stand and say that the duty of the government is for the American people first. That's not controversial. And yet they fell into the trap. And that is going to be used in every super PAC ad. Every single candidate running against a Democrat is going to run that portion and say, my candidate thinks that illegal immigrants are at least on par for protection of the U.S. government, if not more important. They would not stand and agree with this fundamental basic principle.
I want to take some phone calls. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Florida on line one, watching on YouTube. By the way, if you're one of the thousands of people watching on YouTube, you may have never seen us before. You may just be tuning in for the first time. We know about half of you often have never seen us before. I'm not going to ask you to donate support financially. I'm going to ask you just to click that subscribe button. No, that helps us out a lot. So go ahead and hit that subscribe. Throw the thumbs up. You can hype the video, I think, as well now. We appreciate all of the YouTube engagement. We appreciate all of the support that way. But let's go to Michael, watching on YouTube in the great state of Florida. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I didn't really think that anybody could do any better job than Marco did the other day. But let's face it, President Trump literally hit it out of the park last night. And it was just so funny to me. It almost seemed like an episode of Mean Girls on the Left, because when he asked that question, and clearly that's something that you've raised your hand to support and swear in with, and yet you sit.
Yeah, of course, Michael, it was a bit of a bait, bit of a trick question, if you will, because he knows that he's not going to get many options where, or many times where, the left will stand up for anything President Trump is saying. I think it maybe happened, you could say, and there still was never 100% consistency. Maybe it happened twice. Maybe it happened majority for the Olympic team. And then again, it actually happened, maybe surprisingly, following the Erica Kirk scenario. And then a couple of the moments.
The insider trading stock ban for members of Congress actually got quite a few members on the left, yeah, including Elizabeth Warren. That's been something she has talked about. Yeah. It was funny to watch Nancy Pelosi try to spin that on CNN later that evening. She was a guest on that panel. But yeah, as you said, there were moments. It wasn't completely that they had no soul, like with the Olympic team. However, some of the other moments, the mother of the woman that was Ukrainian that was murdered in Charlotte stayed seated for that.
Yeah.
There was so many other moments where there was no real reason that you could even politically say, I'm going to sit down because I don't agree with a policy or a statement here, but instead I'm sitting down just because I cannot stand the man who is saying it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's nothing new. This has been kind of par for the course for probably since the founding of the country, where you have really a a really hard line between Republicans and Democrats and their willingness to either stand up or support or not support. But there were moments that you had that. I think overall, and you said, you know, dude, I think it was better than the Marco Rubio speech. They're very different. Obviously, State of the Union is going to be a very different tone. It's always going to have a little bit more pizzazz to it. It's going to be a little bit more of a show. There's going to be those moments, the Medal of Freedom moments. There's going to be moments that people are addressed in the crowd. So I think that you can not necessarily put apples to apples in those. I do think in terms of a President Trump speech, I can't think of, and maybe I missed some of it occasionally here and there, I can't think of a big gaffe or a big moment that I walk away going that was a big negative. And I don't think that's, I think that's pretty rare for any president, by the way. I don't think that's necessarily even rare for a Republican or Democrat. I think most of the times there is something that kind of is missaid or you're doing a 2-hour speech. It's not always going to be perfect. I don't know if it was the best one of the State of the Unions I've heard, but I didn't walk away offended by it, or there was not anything I walked away going, oh, they're going to have to answer to that. It felt pretty standard. I didn't necessarily check the post coverage, so that was where you did, because it was so late, to be honest.
Well,
I was ready to go to bed.
and to be honest, we see on CNN even their kind of focus group and polling they did. We can play this later, but they saw that pre-speech, and this was their own internal polling, speech watchers said that his policies will move the U.S. in the right direction. That was at 54%. So even their poll, which I feel like with the State of the Union is probably going to skew more conservative. I feel like if you absolutely cannot stand him, you're not going to subject yourself to 2 hours of a speech unless you just want to rage watch it. But 54% said his policies will move the U.S. in the right direction. After the speech, their same group that they polled, it went up to 64%. So of the people that watched the speech, they liked what they saw. I would say
that's probably
criticisms on style, the length, is hard for really anyone to just carve out 2 hours of that type of speech. But I do appreciate how it was vignetted, that you could pop in, turn on the State of the Union, and see little stories with little policy perspectives and moments, and watch two or three of them. And I feel like you still kind of understood the rest of it, because it was celebratory. It was very American. America is doing well. We are back. It wasn't this negative, we are still destroyed. Yeah. We are making our way back.
Now better. Some members maybe want you to think that. It got a little loud. It got a little aggressive. So at least add a little flair to the night. It's okay. Everyone wants a good heckler once in a while, right? We'll get into that. We'll play that when we get back. Hey, I did want you to take a look at the work of the ACLJ and what we're doing right now. You've heard about our work at the Supreme Court. I'm going to dive into that a lot more coming up throughout the show. Go to ACLJ.org for more information, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered. Download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Secular program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. A lot of you are watching. Many of you are calling in. We do have a few lines open still. If you want to talk about the State of the Union, I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Leading in, my brother had a special on TBN. We're going to play some of those clips later in the show, but because so many of you are watching right now, and if you were watching during the break, you saw a clip from that. We'll play a little bit of that later on in the broadcast. But right now, I want to hear from you because it went so late. There is typical where I flip around after the State of the Union. But, you know, we got kids. Got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get the kids to school. After a 10 p.m. Ending of this event, I had to get the kids back because my son wanted to watch some of it also, and because he's older, he's in his teens, so he wanted to see the State of the Union, see how things were. So it was a late night for the Secular household, so I did not get to follow up with what was going on CNN or any of the other outlets.
You know, I think we should play this because you referenced it earlier, but, you know, we needed to check in on some of the counter programming because they they had the State of the Swamp address that was happening. There was another one, and I said I wasn't going to watch them, and I didn't watch them. I had to check out Jordan on Praise, but
I texted you one this morning.
All right.
Because, look, first thing when I opened my eyes this morning, I checked out what was going on in the news, and the most replies to this video was, at Grok, is this AI? Is this real? How could this possibly be real? Again, let me paint a picture for you. Dozens of people that should have been in that room decided to protest because of how serious the nature is of what President Trump is saying and how much they vehemently disagree with him and think he's like sitting in the room with a fascist dictator. That's the premise. These times in this world are so serious right now that we have to hold these counter events because it's too hard for us to sit in the room with someone that we think is, again, a fascist dictator. How are we going to counter program that? Should we come up with something very serious, very heavy, somber, you know, sing some songs and really just get in that moment of maybe prayer for the country or intense thoughts for the country? They're probably not praying, but they're giving some thoughts. They got some thoughts for the country.
Lots of thoughts.
Lots of vibes. Lots of good vibes. Bad vibes.
There were vibes.
So when I did look to my social feeds this morning to see, well, where the count? I didn't even have to see it because it just showed up right in my feed. I didn't have to go looking for this. So let's set up what this counter event is. And then the visual of this, again, I have to reiterate, is real, is not AI. It is 100% legitimate.
That's right. Let's go ahead and play. This is from the Congresswoman Maxine Dexter. She is a Democrat from Oregon. And here was her bold, brave.
By the way, hopefully those of you who are listening will tell you afterwards what you're missing out on. But you should see this. You should be watching on ACLJ.org.
Here we go. Bite 16.
I'm a mother. I'm a physician. And I have a flag. And I am the proud representative for Oregon's 3rd Congressional District. Yes, thank you. Thank you. And tonight, I defy Trump and his authoritarian project by standing in joyful, radical, peaceful resistance with the Portland Frog Brigade.
You cannot hear that clearer. She says, and tonight I defy Trump and his authoritarian project by standing in joyful, radical, peaceful resistance. No problem with that. She has a big, by the way, a big sign in front of her that says defiance. With the Portland Frog Brigade. And if you were not watching this, what you are missing is about a half dozen.
Seven on stage and about six or seven off stage as well.
Those guys didn't get the top bell.
That's the second line of brigade.
They're like the Blue Man Group that tours.
Right.
They didn't get the main. They're not the main Blue Man Group. These are people in cartoon styled inflatable frog costumes. Cartoon frog costumes. Not even like a Mickey Mouse. We're talking about a blow up frog. And in those moments, you do have to take a real step back and realize how much the seriousness of this, how much this is political theater, and how disconnected they are that they think that this is what's going to go over with the American people. You're telling me that the world is crumbling, we're in the midst of a world war, that all of this, you know, is happening because of a fascist dictator, an authoritarian President Trump, and all of this, and we're going to hold a protest, and your serious protest, by the way, which should be reaching outside of Portland. I understand this may work in Portland. Is a dozen people in inflatable frog costumes. I don't care what it is she has to say. It is completely made invalid by the visual. Is it funny? Sure. Did I think this was supposed to be funny? I don't think so.
That's right. And when you see the visual and when you understand this is an elected member of Congress, if I were an extreme liberal in this Portland district, in Oregon's 3rd Congressional District, I would be outraged and say, I want a new representative. I want a new member of Congress, because you're telling me this man is literally Hitler? You've been telling me that for years, and the best you've got is frog costumes? They are such an unserious group of people, and that's why people, when people wonder, why does Congress as a whole have such low approval ratings? Maybe it's because that's the best they got.
Yeah.
The best that this member of Congress and this state of the swamp speech and counter programming could do is Frog Brigade, which I looked up, a group of frogs, not a gaggle, an army or colony of frogs, but this was a brigade.
I would tell you this was more of a colony.
Yeah. Very communistic.
If you'd give me one of the three options there, yeah. Army, brigade, or community, or what was it?
Colony.
Yeah. I'm going frog colony.
And when you just hear that you have to realize one of two things are true. Because of what they have projected that Donald Trump is, either they are lying to the American people, which I believe that they are, and because if he is as bad as they say he is, can you imagine during World War II, if the resistance to the Axis powers were going around in frog costumes saying, I defy you, Mussolini. I mean, imagine this.
Right.
It's so ridiculous. Or also, Trump derangement syndrome is a clinical thing at this point where your brain is unable to come up with rational things to push back. So this seems like a great idea.
Again, it's silly. It's funny. As someone who likes a good silly funny, likes a good costume, okay? I'm a costume-loving guy. I just find it to be so insincere when it matches what the content is. If you had a fun rally, you know, and this happened, you brought up, this is a political rally, a big show, sure, bring on the Frog Brigade. It doesn't bother me at all that these people exist. But when you bring it up during a time where you are literally questioning not only whether the president of the United States can be doing what he's doing, but you're calling him racist. You have people chanting that people are being murdered in the streets. If you truly, sincerely believe that, this would not be the way you respond. And that's as simple as it can be. It's not about not having, a bit of fun, a bit of whimsy in your life. You can't be up on stage telling people how serious and dark it is. Now, look, maybe they remember that Biden speech and they go, we got to go the opposite of that one.
Right.
We got to go the opposite of the Darth Vader speech. And we got to go straight up.
Whimsy.
We got to go frog costumes. Maybe they're somewhere in the middle. I don't know. Maybe do what President Trump did. Keep it kind of normal. Like he did this last time. Look, we got a half hour more coming up. Some of you don't get us in your local market. You missed those frog brigades if you're just listening anyway. So you should be joining us online, aclj.org, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're live every day. You can find us there. You can also find us on, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, wherever you get your pods. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, second half hour. Of course, we're covering the State of the Union, chatting it all out. You missed the Frog Brigade if you were not listening to the last segment, I'm sure. Look, there's a good chance we'll get back to the Frog Brigade. I can't let it go. But we also want to play some more clips from President Trump. Of course, some of the back and forth that also happened between President Trump, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, all your favorite cast of characters that did decide to show up, by the way. They were there while AOC and Adam Schiff opted out. Well, maybe they were outside. I don't know if they were with the frogs. I don't think they were in the same spot. Maybe they were doing their own counter event that was happening an hour before. A lot of these kind of moments, they're all political theater, if you will. I do think maybe we should play a little bit of the Trump back and forth where you can hear some of the heckling that was going on, because I don't want to cast this as if it was one of the more calm ones of modern existence. There still was that pushback. And look, I'm okay with a little pushback. I don't think that there's anything wrong with our political figures having some kind of debate, whether this is the appropriate space for that debate to happen. That's a whole different story. But maybe we could set this up. President Trump, you'll hear him start talking about situations. Obviously, it's about ICE, and they are starting to infer about Minnesota, which obviously is why you have Representative Omar responding. So let's take a listen to this. Just have a little bit of the back and forth that went on.
And enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Saying you should be ashamed of yourself as they were yelling back things like, you have murdered Americans, and so on. You've killed Americans. This is in the same time where President Trump was talking about how much crime has gone down, how the drug crisis has gone down, fentanyl deaths have been severely decreased, how crime in the streets have severely decreased in many different cities. And having President Trump respond to that in a way where he did have to go off script for a moment.
That's right. And what you also saw, one, the uncreativity, at least with the Frog Brigade, it was a little more creative. Ilhan Omar's protest back were when President Trump said these individuals have murdered Americans, she would respond with, you murdered Americans. And when he said things like they should be ashamed of yourselves, the Democrats, you should be ashamed of yourselves, she's just repeating back. It's like the you're mean. You know, it was such a lame pushback. But they also, she and Omar, after they disrupted, they didn't stay for the whole speech. They left during the moment when President Trump reunited a daughter with her father, who had been a political prisoner under Nicolas Maduro. In the room, they decided to get up and leave. Their only reason for being there was to disrupt. They got there. They got their TV time. They shouted back. Rashida Tlaib showed really where she stands when it comes to representing this country. When people were chanting USA in the crowd, there's a video of her saying KKK. So no respect for the country, no respect for the Constitution. They may try to claim that, but they don't. They don't like America. And the only reason they went to the State of the Union was to disrupt it. You saw Congressman Al Green. He's got a two-year streak of getting thrown out now.
In
like
the
I
first
think,
5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a congressional seat soon because of redistricting in Texas. But at least he's got to keep the Take streak alive, moment. Right? And it was just there. Really, a
I
lot
don't
of
mind consistency.
A lot of the absurd moments, though, came from the people that were specifically there to disrupt it.
Yeah. Hey, we got two more segments left. I got four open lines for you. Give me a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. What, you got something to say, Will?
No.
Oh, you did a little...
I'm excited.
Did a hand waggle. The ACLJ is hard at work, too, even just looking at some of these highlights. Hey, if you're interested in what's going on in California, we're out there right now. As we know, the governor there and the California politics are trying to bankrupt a church, Calvary Chapel, San Jose. I'm going to take this to the Supreme Court of the United States. Be a part of it. ACLJ.org. And sign that petition. Or... if you can today, become an ACLJ champion, someone that gives on a monthly basis. Do it at ACLJ.org right now. I appreciate it. Give me a call, though. 1-800-684-3110. I'll take as many of calls as I can. Be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Seculo program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
Hello, I do want to take some calls also about the State of the Union. Some of you on hold for a while, so I want to make sure I get to you. Let's start with one of them.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Carol, who is watching on YouTube in Illinois. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, this is Carol calling, and I just wanted to say how deplorable the Democrats were when they could not clap for our American-Canadian hockey team, nor did they clap for that lovely little girl who was hurt completely, where she could, they said, would not walk or talk when she was hit by a truck driver, and I won't say what kind of truck driver.
Yep, Carol.
And yet here she is today, able to go to school and is talking. And I just think it's deplorable of the Democrats that they don't have more backbone.
Well, and Carol, that was part of the point to some degree that why President Trump raised these issues. It is a midterm year. All eyes are kind of on that, as every member of Congress that was in that room and not in that room, if they are in the House of Representatives, is up for re-election in just a few months. I mean, it's November, but last year felt like it flew by. The fact that it's almost March now also is kind of crazy how quickly we are going to get to those midterm elections. You're going to start seeing ads after ads after ads if there's not a primary in the summer. If you're in many states, you're probably already seeing those ads. So I feel like for many of those individuals, they were making a political choice. Yes, does every single Democrat not think that's a good story, that that girl miraculously has made recovery in many ways after being hit by a truck driver that was here illegally? No, I don't think every one of them is that heartless. Now, I know the chat's going to disagree with me, but I think most of them made a political choice. That no matter what, we are going to stay seated for the entire thing. And I understand that. I understand they don't want to give their opponents in a political race any sort of fuel to their ads to be like, look, this my opponent in the primary supports Donald Trump. Here they are seen standing at the State of the Union. But I do agree with you, it is deplorable. Like these are humanity issues. And there are many of them that you should be able to not only have the political lens on and be able to say, you know what, I am going to stand for this. Most of them did stand for the hockey team, which you would think, I'm glad that they did that, that they could at least recognize this is probably not a good thing to stay seated for.
Nothing to politicize, yeah.
But there were other moments where it was just individuals, real people. They say that the Republicans are heartless and all of the rhetoric they've used, that they're monsters, they're fascist. But at the same time, they're the ones who will not stand for people who have overcome so much or celebrating American heroes that served in World War II, Korea, and many other conflicts. And the fighter, the helicopter pilot from the Venezuela mission, there were so many Democrats that chose not to stand. And that's where politics is toxic, because you can't even stand for your own fellow countrymen.
And speaking of that that good moment with the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team, let's go play a bite from there. Here's President Trump, bite 13.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country. Until you came along, we're just always losing, but now we're winning too much. And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in.
I like this moment. You know, this was a moment that I called my kids into the room and said, you got to come see this. Of course, we were all following that Olympic win, which was a great moment. Like I said, a moment I think America needed, a moment where we all were united briefly, watching the men's Olympic hockey team and the women's Olympic hockey team, by the way, too, taking home the gold. And I believe they've been invited to the White House as well. That should, like you said, that should help be kind of a bipartisan moment. I was worried a little bit when President Trump started going into this. I was like, where's he headed?
Right.
Because this was one of those Trump moments that felt very like campaign. We knew the winning and everything. We're winning too much. We're winning so much. Then I thought, where are we headed with this? And then I was like, oh, I think I know. And then it got to the Olympic hockey team.
And he seemed to be genuinely having fun with that.
Yes.
Like, he was kind of chuckling to himself. He knew what the payoff was, which was also good. And you could see he was excited. So much so, I can assure you, none of our team was running the audio. Have you heard that? It was real rough, and none of our team would have ever let that happen. So whoever in the House of Representatives was running it.
Because they make a big deal if a president wears an earpiece or something like that during this. A lot of times, like, they're feeding him lunch. The debates always happens. There's a reason why some people do. And that is so you could say, hey, President Trump, you're peaking. Back off a little bit. I know we don't do that, but like, we do live in a world now where all of this is broadcast to the entire world in real time. I don't think it would have been that bad to have a producer or director in the ear of the president just to let them know if there was a technical issue.
Right.
Because the first 10 minutes of this, there were quite a few technical problems. And when that happens, I'm not saying it turns off people with the content you're saying. It turns off people physically. They physically will have to turn the channel. My wife was like, I can't, this is painful to listen to. That is the kind of problems you have when you have a great moment like bringing in the hockey team, but you're trying to react to the moment in the crowd and not obviously President Trump understands how to reach millions of people worldwide, but not having that technical oversight is a bit of an issue. Now, we do know how they do it. They bring the president in right before it happens. We see them drive over. All of this happens in real time. It's not like there's a lot of rehearsal going on with the president himself.
Right.
But maybe you tech wizards who are out there, we need to figure that out going forward.
I've also never heard it like that during a State of the Union. No. And it happens once a year. You get that speech. Now, it's not a daily broadcast. Our team is able to pivot and make adjustments on the fly. But it took a while for them to correct it, too, which I also thought was interesting. They could control their feed. They can control how much audio was going in and out. That's where it was concerning to me. But this is probably boring everyone.
Everyone
talking about the tech side of it.
I'm more talking just about, I know that politically it doesn't necessarily look good to have an earpiece in and those kind of things. People have concerns about that. But there are moments where tech could get involved.
But also, if the president were wearing an earpiece, That would be the conspiracy theory
that's what
being fed the lines. I mean, that's with the Kamala Harris earring debacle where, like, I think that is an earpiece
I forgot about that.
In the debate. And so those are the type of things as a politician, you have to
think about why, but I also think we live in a modern technological state where I think maybe we can go forward with that. Let's take another call before we get to break. Let's go to Ashton, who's calling in South Carolina, watching on Rumble. Go ahead.
Hi, you guys hit the nail on the head with the Democrats. They're so unserious, frog costumes. I'm the grandson of German Jews, and I got to tell you guys, I could never wrap my head around how the Nazis got everyday Germans to go along with them. But now, thanks to MAGA and bootlickers like you.
Okay, I know where this was headed. I knew where this was headed. I could feel it from the second that it was happening. But you know what? That's what happens when you have a live show. If you're kind, honestly, if you were honest, if you had told our phone screener, I didn't like anything President Trump had to say, and I would like to go on the air and talk about it, I would have put you on the air. You would have actually had a real moment to share your opinion, because I do care about, when I say you're the most important voice in the room, I mean it. But when you lie to a phone screener and you get on a show and you start saying things that are going to lead to likely a profanity-laced rant, you're not going to make it on the air. I'm sorry, whatever you want to say, whoever you are. Phone lines are open for you, though, who are watching right now. If you agree or disagree with anything I have to say, I'm happy to chat it out. Just be honest to the phone screener.
Yeah, there are rules. Okay, Ashton from South Carolina?
Yeah.
Just play by the rules.
Yeah, don't tell lies, Will.
Right.
Yeah, no more lies. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We do have one more segment coming up. I would love to hear from you. Though this is the coverage today, the work of the ACLJ continues. There was an hour-long special that aired before on TBN last night, really talking about the work of the ACLJ and how hard we've been working at it for the last 40 years, nearly. And I want you to be a part of that ACLJ family. You know the legal work we have been working on. Legal team, we're in the middle of a lot of different fights currently. We have an amicus brief right now at the Supreme Court, protecting elections, preparing a 21st federal court filing. Pretty crazy. To protect executive authority. We also are fighting in California. The ones that are really important are churches like Calvary Chapel, San Jose. They're being fined over $1 million still. And we're trying to help them out. Obviously at no cost to any of these clients. That is because people like you support the work financially. Or even just in your prayers. Or even just by subscribing on YouTube. There's a lot of ways you can get involved. If you can donate, great. But if you can't, there are plenty of ways to get involved. Then go to ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. If not, just support the work. Tell your friends. We'll be right back with your calls and comments coming up.
Welcome to the all-new ACLJ app. Expert analysis and insight big tech can't censor. Customize your news and get real-time alerts on the issues you care about. Advocacy is now at your fingertips. Take action, make a difference. Support the causes you care about with just one tap. Be the first to know. Breaking news alerts sent straight to your inbox. Everything you need, all in one place. Stay informed, stay empowered, download today.
We are so excited to announce the ACLJ's brand new app, completely redesigned to provide you with the best tools available to partner with us at the ACLJ. You can watch the daily Seculo program, sign the petitions, customize your ACLJ membership experience, donate with the click of a button, and receive up-to-the-minute critical updates that the mainstream media can't censor. Just scan the QR code on your screen or go to your phone's app store, search ACLJ, and click install. It's that simple.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular, last segment of the day, and we've got one line open still at 1-800-684-3110. You can call in if you'd like to call in. Maybe we'll get to you. We'll do our best. If you're on hold right now, likely we're going to get to you. Let's kick it off. Let's go. First, let's go to Sue in California. Sue, go ahead. She's an ACLJ champion, so of course you get to go first. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. I'm a big champion. I recommend everybody do that, no matter how little or how much. But anyway, so watching the address last night in front of the television with family, you guys didn't really maybe catch it or see that the gift that keeps on giving, Tlaib, was wearing a button on her left lapel that had a derogatory attack against ICE. It was a four-letter word beginning with F and ending with K, and it said ICE.
She doesn't like ICE. She is European. Yeah. She just wants a beverage that is room temperature,
okay.
No ice in it.
So,
right?
So you said that this was an issue you had because you had family in the room.
Kids that know how to spell and read, yeah, actually were saying, oh my gosh. So the future voters of America sees maybe that that's not the greatest choice to pick, but she's the type of person that would go to get a drink, and if I asked her, she was asked about, do you want ice in it, she'd run out the door and not pay. That's how
there you go,
Sue.
I think this is an interesting moment for American politics. I grew up watching the State of the Union every year, as a kid even. And look, I'll put President Trump, I'll comment on this as well. The use of especially the upgrade on language that is fair game now in politics, I don't love. I think that it is a shame that you have to censor your children from potentially watching a political rally or a State of the Union because you're worried about the language being used. It used to be the content. Maybe you didn't want to bring up some of these important issues or hear about war or hear about violence. And we know that that is important to talk about what's happening in the country. But then it became, and look, again, I will put as much blame on President Trump as I will on the Democrats on this. It became a free-for-all in terms of the language that can be used. Again, I'm no prude. I've heard all the words, okay? But I do find it interesting that instead of me bringing my family around to sit down and watch, I wanted to screen it. And I brought them in to watch things like the hockey team coming in, or there was a moment. Obviously, my 13-year-old son, a little bit different than my girls, who, again, they've probably heard everything as well. But I don't want to show them that that is how you get into power in America, is by just using extreme profanity or making these kind of statements, not being able to be kind to the people you disagree with, to really take it that far. So, look, I think that's the modern world we live in. Look at the content that you're watching on television now. Look how much things have changed in the world of streaming and all of that, the podcast world. Look, it's why we're on terrestrial radio still, and I think there's part of me that likes that because we have this a little bit of a barrier where if you're listening with your kids, there may be content that we're going to talk about you don't want to listen with your kids in terms of some of the serious nature. We're talking about war. We're talking about life. We're talking about these protections. Sometimes that's not kid-appropriate content. But you're not going to have to worry about us using extreme profanity. Now, someone could call in, sneak past a phone screener, but that happens from time to time. Let's take up more calls before we wrap up. Keith in Maine, go ahead.
Hi. When you were playing that bite of the representative from Washington State, and she was standing there with her silly frog costumes, I was reminded of the fact that if you put a frog in a pan of boiling water, turn the heat on, it'll stay there until it boils itself to death. So I said, well, they did a pretty good job of revealing the truth. President Trump has turned the heat on and they're self-destructing.
Well, Keith, it's so hilariously sad. It's not that fun. What's funny about it is just the irony in it or the lies that are just so clearly deconstructed when you watch it.
And remember, the governor of New York referred to Republicans and conservatives as clowns. Their seriousness it is so much that the Republicans are clowns, yet when they are giving a alternative option for the State of the Union, they have people in frog costumes. Who are the clowns? Who is participating in clowning?
Hey, if you want to know who are the clowns, send in the clowns.
And maybe Bobo Hogan will make a surprise appearance.
It's been a while since we sent in the clowns. Why don't we do that to wrap this show up? Let's take another call. Dan! I wanted to peek the audio to see if I could do it, just like President Trump. Dan in Oregon, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, you guys. I just want to say thank you for taking my call, but most of all, what a president. He is fantastic. Never in my 60-some years have I seen such a president that loves the American people and loves America so much. You know, it seems like there's a spiritual warfare going on in our nation. And it's obvious that God has his hand on this president. And exposing, well, I'd like to say the demoncrats that hates America, that hates American people, that doesn't vote for things that is good for us, but protects the murderers and illegal aliens that has done so much to the American people and stays sitting there. I mean, it just exposed them so much. And I'm so proud of our president. And I'd like to add this, that, you know, you people out there hearing, pray for our president, pray for his family, pray for his administration, and keep praying for our nation. And, you know, we're winning. They are so exposed to the people that they are that now this midterm coming up, I don't see how they have a chance.
Well, Dan, look, don't put it past him. I will say this, as much as your enthusiasm is there, understand there is a enthusiasm on the other side as well for a referendum on all of this. So, and look, that could be very bad for President Trump's last couple of years in terms of getting stuff done.
Well, and to Dan's point also, when people like that caller that got through and just said, you know, we're only parroting this and that we are falling in line. You know, there was actually a good portion of some of the policy proposals that President Trump said, specifically with like some economic stuff that I wasn't a big fan of. It wasn't traditionally conservative Republican in the economics. There was some stuff that leaned kind of FDR-ish when it comes to entitlements and things like that, that he was talking about. And the difference is one, I probably would have gotten more into that if the other side hadn't done such a marvelous job about making it about themselves and how bad they are at this, how unserious they are at this. That probably would have come up more today, but they even took away that opportunity because of how ridiculous the show was last night that we saw from the Democrats in Congress. And I think that's another thing too, is that in conservative places and conservative ideology, everyone isn't in lockstep on every single issue. And that's okay. But if you are a Democrat, you are going to be run out of their party. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. Look at what they're trying to do to John Fetterman, who was there in a suit and said, look, just have respect for the institution. I don't like what these people are doing.
And I don't like suits.
And he's not a suit fan. And Logan doesn't like suits either.
Oh, yeah.
But once again, it just shows that you can be someone on the other side and be serious, like Senator Fetterman. But they don't want you to be a part of their party.
Yeah. Why so serious? I want you to go to ACLJ.org right now. We're wrapping up this show. We heard from so many voices today. Most of them yours. Some of them Will's. Some of them the ones in my head.
Oh, no.
But I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, support the work. We're in some critical legal battles right now. Hope you enjoyed the show today. I love seeing all those clowns and some frogs, too. You know, that's pretty funny. All right, with that, I appreciate it. Go to ACLJ.org for more information. We'll be back tomorrow with maybe a little more serious programming, Will. Less frogs?
Nah, let's bring it back.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.